Happy Mother's Day to everybody. Really nice to be able to share with you. I want to concentrate on families and on moms today. There's an outline in your bulletin. I put the gospel reading in it at the top. The title is Give Your Family to Jesus. That's what we got to do. We got to give our families, we got to give our kids to Jesus. A mother's love has long been used as a way to measure what love is. And I know how that mother's love is. I have two brothers, and so there were three boys growing up my mom had to deal with. I can't imagine. Well, she had a lot of grace. She had a lot of love for us, but we really put her through the ringer, I think, at times. Boys can be pretty tough, but it's amazing. Have you ever heard that expression, he has a face only a mother could love? You know, I mean, it kind of epitomizes how much God's love is, but a mother's love can only go so far. The best example of love is God Himself. And He's the one that inspires a mother's love. So what we're going to look at is the gospel reading that we had specifically. And, you know, the lady in the reading, she's at a point where it's really devastating. And it's difficult for her. She's lost her son. She's a widow. And there are some times in our lives when really we're dealing with issues and we're dealing with struggles, particularly with our kids. We have three kids. And there's times when you just have to give the situation to Jesus. You have just have to, the circumstances are out of your control and you just need to give it into the Lord's hands. It's really important to do. Now along comes Jesus into that and He brings a completely different perspective. He brings a different way of looking at it, which is important. Because oftentimes we're looking at it in our focus, and He's able to do things that we cannot even imagine. In the story, there are a lot of people here. In the Greek text, there's different words they have for towns, different words they have for cities. They use a word in the text that means a larger city. There are little towns, and then there's bigger ones that would be greater population, that would be an important political location, at least for the other towns, maybe economics, whatever it may be, but they use that to signify this town, which means there are a lot of people that have come to this. It is huge. And everybody is concerned, everybody has compassion on this lady, and Jesus does too. And what I would encourage you to see, first and foremost, when you're dealing with your family, your kids, your spouse, relationships. It is important to see that Jesus Christ is present. Do you see it like that? When you're dealing with difficulties and struggles, do you see that actually Jesus Christ is right there? He's right in the midst of it. He comes to you. They're not in church. They're not praying. They're not even asking for God's presence. And He shows up in the midst of that because He is concerned. He has a heart. He has compassion. He has a heart for us in what we're going through. He really does. And in the text, it says that the Lord was moved. It says in verse 13, when the Lord saw her, so when He sees you in what you're dealing with, when He sees you with what your kids are going through, this is exactly how the Lord looks at you. No different. You are no different. And I realize that it doesn't seem like that always. That's life. You know, you stop and you think about this lady. This lady had to deal with the death of her son. The Lord was not there. At least she could not see Him. She had to deal with the preparations for that day. She had to get in that procession and walk in front with her son behind. This is a tragic, this is a difficult situation. And it's very hard for us. On Friday, we had a memorial service, a celebration of life for Melvin Scavarla. Some of you would know Melvin, some of you don't. He was an architect of some fair renown. He was head of the conservation, architect for conservation at the U of I. And he helped redo Allerton. There's other things on campus that he was strategic on. And we had a big gathering up in Chicago on Friday to celebrate his life. Now, there were people there, there were a lot of people there that were comforting the family and David and Madeline, his sister-in-law, and it's good, but there is only so much people can do. There's only so much a human being can do to help another brother or sister. Jesus can do so much more. And that's what I would like you to see, that Jesus Christ has a different perspective. He can bring something into the situation that you can't even see. You might be praying for your kids and you don't know how the situation is going to work out. You don't know how the Lord is going to provide for everything. How are they going to be? I have three kids. And we worry and stress about them. You might have little kids and you don't know how the kid's going to grow up. Are they going to go the right way? Am I going to do the right thing? You know, it's interesting with our kids. They don't come with a manual, do they? They don't come and they tell us how to do everything. We don't know. I mean, a lot of this stuff, especially with the first one, we're just flying blind on this so often. And if you invite Jesus Christ, or rather to put it correctly, if you can see that Christ is present with you and watching over you and giving you the strength and everything that you need, it will bring a freshness, a boldness, a power into the situation that would not be there otherwise. Can you imagine what this would have been like? Because when we read it at the three services now, it just struck me. You know, I'm thinking all these people, and Jesus comes over. Can you imagine everybody would have been absolutely amazed. He spoke to this boy. This boy is gone. And he speaks to him, and he sits up and starts talking. Oh my goodness. That is incredible. The point of this, one of the main things is God's compassion. That's true, and I get that. And we have to see that God is compassionate. That's first and foremost. You have to see that God does not shy away from you. We all sin. We all fail. Moms, you know this. There's times that we don't measure up to everybody else's standards, right? And it's difficult. Jesus Christ does not shy away from you in any of your failures. Never, ever. He is there with you, present. And he's got ideas and he has hopes. He has things that he can work. His compassion is great. And when he moves in a situation, he can do things that we cannot imagine. And sometimes we have to go through darker times. We have to wait upon him, but it's always good to wait on him. Sometimes it's very easy for us just to get very introspective and to think about ourselves and my situation. And my struggles, and our struggles, and the difficulty. But what I'm encouraging you to do is think beyond that. Think that Jesus Christ is present in the situation. What would he say? What would he do? Are we waiting upon that? Are we inviting him in? His compassion is obvious in this story. But I'm not sure if it's the main point. I think perhaps the main point of this story are the last number of verses. Look at verse 16. They were filled with awe and praised God. A great prophet has appeared among us, they said. God has come to help his people. And the news about Jesus spread throughout Judea and the surrounding countryside. When we pray the Lord's Prayer, which we're going to pray later on in the service, we end the Lord's Prayer with this: "For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory." The idea is that in your life, above all, God would have glory. That God would be seen. Now, I know there are moms in this room. And I know of moms, I know in our own family, where there's been situations where we didn't know how God was going to work things out. And I know for a fact there was one time when we moved internationally, which we've had to do a number of times in our career. That's tough to do. If you've ever done that, it's not easy. And our youngest kid at the time was totally worried and totally stressed about the move. He had a lot of friends where we were living, and he did not want to go. He did not understand it, and he was not happy. And you guys know as parents, when your kids are not happy and they're grumpy, it's difficult, isn't it? I mean, it's really a trial. And your heart goes out to them, and you're thinking, how are we going to be able to handle this? What can we possibly do to help? So we prayed about it, and we asked God, did we have an answer? No, we did not have an answer. We get over to Namibia, and we're looking for a house. We had a house that we were going to get. And we were going to go sign the contract that afternoon on that house, right? Now, keep in mind, this has been months of prayer, and our son is really not happy with us. And it's not a happy time for our family in that sense. We're on our way to sign the contract for this house. We see a for rent sign. Never seen that sign before. We had been all around the town. We had never seen this sign. It just appeared. We figured there's a phone number there. We might as well call it. We call that phone number. And the lady says, I have two houses that are for rent. Said, one of them is such and such. And the other one is like this. She described the two of them to us. The first one was of no interest to us. The second one was a duplex in the finest area of town. It was the worst house in the best area of town. And so we went and looked at it. It was perfect. It had security. It had everything we needed. It had all the bedrooms. It had all the space. It had a wonderful, beautiful kitchen. Here's the biggest thing. We found out that there was a neighbor next door that was a girl the same age as our son. They became the best of friends. They became such good friends that we built a ladder between the two houses, and they would go back and forth. And they spoke German, and we spoke English. Tim learned German, and we actually joined a rock climbing club with them. He was a pilot next door, and we're friends to this day. It's just amazing. You see, but did we know that? Did we know that going into it? No. So this is what I'm encouraging you to do. God did that for His glory. What glory are you expecting in your lives? Are you expecting God to do great things? Because He will. You see, He comes on the scene and the scene changes. So that's why I would encourage you to give your family to Jesus. Mom, give your kids to Jesus. Give your spouse to Jesus. I can tell you as a spouse, I need it. It's good. It will be a blessing and God will get the glory. I'm not saying it doesn't take patience. I'm not saying that it's not difficult. But what would you rather do? Would you rather go it alone? Or would you rather go with the blessing, the grace, acknowledging with the expectation and the understanding that Jesus Christ is beside you because He is? That's the hope that He's given us. That's the hope that we live for. That's why He's called you to know His love and grace. And I pray in your families that your families are blessed. I can encourage you. God has good things for your family. He really does. Trust in Him. Let Him work those things. Even if you go through difficult and harsh times. He feels those pains. He really does. Just let Him be that encouragement to you. Sense His heart. Sense His compassion. In Jesus' name. Amen.